Well, hello, Vashon.
Howdy, howdy.
Hi. You are listening to KVSH 101.9 LP in downtown,
beautiful
Vashon, Washington.
Exactly.
And you're listening to Stirring the Pot. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host today. And sitting across from me is the co-host, Mr. Tom Conway.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy, Tom. He's sitting here with a smirk on his face.
Well,
for
I
some
am because
reason.
We sort of were, I was just about to do some, that music makes me want to do like interpretive dance.
You know, my son wrote that music.
Yeah, it's
and
very,
produced it.
It makes you want to do some sort of like Hawaiian, you want to tell a story with your hands.
Yeah.
Stirring the pot.
Stirring the pot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect stirring music. Perfect
it is.
Stirring music. So, how are you?
I'm good. I even took a shower for you.
Oh, well, that's a really big deal.
You know what happens when you live alone is you're going,
I know.
Like I work out every other day, and I'm going like, which day was this a shower day?
Was it today?
It was. Yeah. Well, I made it today.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's always good to come to the station when you're nice and clean and shiny.
I wanted to be fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an important thing. Mm-hmm. Well, we have lots to talk about today.
Heck
and
yeah.
The first thing I want to say is, my goodness, it's sunny outside for a change. It's so beautiful.
It is so nice. I have to, the only little minor whine about it is chickens like to drink water. Can you imagine?
Oh, no,
so
they do.
I'm always going out there breaking the water. I could get a heating element.
Breaking the water?
Breaking the water. Oh, breaking the ice, sorry. I'm very scientific.
Your water broke?
I had to break my water. I have to break up the, it's funny.
Well, you didn't have to. Oh, did you still have to do it this morning?
Yeah. And
yeah,
then I have some.
It was cold.
And I have some citrus trees in my greenhouse that I put a little space heater.
Uh-huh.
Those oranges and lemons are going to be like $80 a piece by the time I get them. Because
well,
I have to heat them up.
Are the trees okay?
They're okay. Certain ones are pretty hardy if you keep it just above freezing. So
like 34, 36?
Yeah, 33 is okay. You know, just as long
just
as...
Just right above it.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I have some yuzus. They're Japanese.
Yuzus, I know yuzus.
Yeah, Japanese
They're
citrus.
Lovely, delicious citrus, yeah. You know, that brings up a whole other subject that we won't talk too much about, but the orange crops in California are suffering right now because the workers aren't showing up to pick them because of deportation stuff.
Oh, man.
So the fields or the orchards are kind of empty of people right now. So I'm thinking that you better buy some oranges now. The price is probably going to go way up. And January, February is my favorite season for citrus. Oh, my gosh. That's so good right
There's
now.
There's so much good citrus.
I'm so good.
I'm a navel orange freak. And so
I love citrus.
Yeah.
I am too. A good navel orange is the best if it's a good one.
And this is the time of year you get Meyer lemons.
Mm-hmm,
and so
mm-hmm.
Those are what I usually grind up in a blender. Like two big lemons with two cups of sugar, and then I freeze it. I put it in a Ziploc bag, and then I use that for lemon pies.
And your famous shaker lemon pie.
Shaker lemon pie, baby.
We'll have to talk about that next time because I think maybe we should have one.
You know what? I really will make you one, I promise.
They're so good. I make mine the old-fashioned way, you know, the regular way, but you've invented a whole new way of doing them.
Yeah.
You really have, and I'm quite in admiration of that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't know when the last time was I invented anything like that. Well, I have never invented anything like that. So what's new with you?
Well, what was new with me? Oh. You know, I read a really good article in the New York Times, and it was about a woman who she's a psychologist and a psychiatrist, I think. And she was talking about how we tend to give ourselves a hard time about forgetting things. And we always call that an old age moment or something.
Right.
And she said, young people forget just as much as old people do. But we seem to we pin it on being old. And and it basically was an article about how we need to stop doing that. And there was a statistic that you can live 7.5 years longer. This is part of the article. I sort of digress, but it's a fascinating thing that if you do things that engage you with creativity and people. So her big thing was if you're bored, take art classes.
Mm-hmm.
you know, or music classes, any sort of art writing classes.
And that's how you live 7.5 years longer?
You get 7.5 years more, yeah.
Well.
And a lot of bad art.
Good job, I'm taking watercolor lessons.
Oh, excellent. So, do you take it at the senior center?
Yes.
Awesome.
Can you imagine? I'm starting next week.
That's
actually
great.
I haven't started yet. So.
I saw that you posted you were looking for
I did find an instructor, so I'm going to take those classes and just take like 1 or 2 hours at a time.
That's
from
great.
This woman I found, because I've been practicing for about a year and I kind of like it. And then I figured out everything I'm doing is really technically wrong. And, you know, there are ways to mix colors and I don't know much about that.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Yeah, once you sort of get the technical aspect of the art down, it's a boon to your progress.
So I'm looking forward to that and my extra 7.5 years.
Right on, sister.
That'll be good. That'll be really good. Well, you were telling me at one point that you found some old photos.
Oh, I was telling you about, I had the coolest thing happen. There was somebody who contacted me through my blog years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had done a search for a name, the name Danner and Vashon, and my blog came up because I had a picture or a little article about the people who lived in my house, and it was just a mention of...
And your house is how old, Tom?
1888.
Yeah. Okay.
So W.S. Danner, I had when it was for sale in 1916. And
wow.
So anyway, this person...
Long story short,
because you're right. I was pausing to think about it. It's really detailed. But long story short is, years later, the family was kind enough to give me, and I just got it last week, the photo album of my house in 1916.
Wow.
And the people in it. And I was giddy. Just
you must
giddy.
Have been. You must
because
have been.
You get to see things like you're going, oh, there's a water tower there. There were two extra barns. The property was completely cleared all the way to where the Beale greenhouses are. It was really
That's
pretty fascinating.
Different.
The other thing I really like about it, Linda, this is what makes me really happy, because I always feel like my house is... It's a happy house.
It
like,
really is
I've,
a happy house.
I've lived in a house that was a grumpy house before. You know, I don't know what the deal was. It just like you'd walk in and it'd go like, what are you looking at? You know?
Get out.
But I always felt like there was also, you know, good vibes in my place, good spirits.
I think so too.
And the people in these pictures are all smiling, which is sort of atypical of
that
time
at that
period.
Age? I mean, at that time.
Yeah, they're doing goofy things and funny poses, which normally people didn't do.
Not at that time. It was very dour.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that was my big news. I go every morning at coffee. I just keep looking for things I can sort of spot or find, or and like I discovered what the rail looked like on the porch.
Wow.
And then
did it inspire you to sort of recreate anything? Is there anything you're thinking, oh, that's a good idea, I might do that, or not?
You know what's funny is. The place where the Christmas tree, there's a picture of a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly where I put my Christmas
Is
tree.
It?
Yeah, so that kind of gave me a little chills.
Well, you know, every house I've ever bought, I've looked at, okay, so where would I put the Christmas tree while I'm looking at the house to consider it? You know, I don't know why, but, you know, it's an important place.
And they like dogs. They had a bunch of dogs.
Oh, they did.
So these are good people.
Well, good karma. good karma. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was such a fun surprise.
I will look forward to seeing those photographs.
Oh,
that'll be fun. I'd like that. Well, I haven't been doing too much that's terribly exciting or new, but I got curious about ham the other day. I was just curious about.
There you were filing your fingernails. You go, you know, I wonder about French ham.
Actually, I was not thinking about French ham. I was thinking about Smithfield. And I was thinking about those old hams in the South, you know, those salted country hams, and how much I would really love to have one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're $200 each and it takes forever to get them and all that. But I was just kind of thinking about them and I came across an article that I found was so interesting. There's an Auvergne.
Are you drunk?
I'm so French.
You're either French or drunk. What is it?
is a cathedral that was built in 1396.
Dang.
And This too is a long story, so I'll do the short of the long, but it was built originally as a Roman basilica, and of course it's been through several incarnations through the years. I mean, that's a long time. And it sits way up high off the ground, like 3,000 feet.
Oh, does it have, is it tall tower?
It's tall.
Oh, that's the elevation, yeah. And then the towers are tall
as
well?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, they needed some help with their organ. The organ was failing, and the organ has not been there for that long. And
I didn't say a word.
You're looking at me.
I was minding my own beeswax. Uh-huh. It kills me when I can't. You know, we're on the air. I have to be a good boy.
I know, but as an aside, somebody was complaining the other day about it. She had kidney pain, and then somebody else had something else, some kind of, you know, organ pain.
Organ talk.
And so we start calling it the organ recital. Anyway, so there was a priest there, and I don't know, 15 years ago or so, and he decided that a good fundraiser for the church would be to start beehives right around, and they could sell the honey. So he did that, and they did okay, and then he started thinking about ham, and that area, that region is known for its ham, much like Champagne, the Champagne mm-hmm. area is known, or the Roquefort area is known, and these hams now have a special name that you can't say unless it was actually cured there. But they now are curing hams in the bell tower. And when they first started doing it,
and church attendance has skyrocketed.
Yeah, it smells so good in there. But when they first started doing it, the several people were complaining because the hams were dripping on the floor, and that was creating quite a ruckus with people. So they figured out around that, and they're promoting the work of the farmers, and they're just doing. Somebody said, "Oh, it's going to be a fire hazard," and the priest said, "Hams don't catch a fire."
No, communion candles catch on fire.
Yeah, communion. But anyway, so this aging process, they're doing, and they age for months and months. I don't know. I don't remember how many months, but the area, the region has deemed it illegal. They're not to do that anymore, but they still do. And this status of illegality has been in effect for a few years.
But they're still doing it.
Yeah, they're still doing it. And the hams weigh about 15 pounds.
Wow.
And they're between 150 and 200 euros each.
Yowzer.
But, they're talking about the history there and how wonderful it is to have that history, because they're curing them in the old-fashioned way, just like mm-hmm. they did in the French countryside when the hams cured in the barn. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and can you imagine at that height in the tower?
At that elevation, yeah.
They're getting probably a constant draft.
Oh well, this region is known for its wind. It has wind, some kind of special wind.
French wind.
It's French wind. What can you say? Yeah.
Again, that sounds like something else. But go ahead.
The French don't have that kind of wind. Just ask
them. Too sophisticated.
Yes, they're much too sophisticated. But anyway, the end of the story is these hams are showing up on Michelin-starred tables all over France. And they're like all the rage. And I just thought, how interesting that is, that they have hams in the churches, in the church.
Yeah.
You know?
Talk about thinking outside the box.
I know. It's a marriage of culture mm-hmm. and cuisine.
Yeah, and it's funny that bureaucracies everywhere are a thorn in the side of many citizens.
I know, and all these people are trying to do is preserve a way of life, preserve history,
yeah, and the architecture of the church, because I'm sure it has to do with, well, like you said, it was the renovation of an organ.
Right. Know. And So I spent a lot of time digging around on the internet, looking at articles about this. And if anybody's interested in further pursuit, or if you're going to France pretty soon.
And you want some ham.
It is in southeast central France. And the name of the cathedral is Saint Pierre.
I didn't know there was a Saint Pierre. Did you? I've never heard of Saint Pierre.
I don't know. I never thought about it.
We'll look that up for the next show.
I mean,
show.
There's a saint to everybody else. Yeah. Why wouldn't there be one?
It just seems he's a very urbane saint.
Urbane saint.
I am.
Yeah.
Saints be.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Where's my vive cuco?
So I'm still hungry for ham. I'm still hungry for a good ham.
You know, let's go. We need to go get one of those ones on a spiral because I just.
You know what? I kind of don't like those.
Because?
They're. I like to slice my ham.
Okay.
I just.
Stop. Well, who doesn't?
I do. I just think a ham, those spiral slices, and they're always a little sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. They put in that sort of, it almost, that stuff they put on that you're supposed to smear.
I mean, they're okay. I wouldn't turn one down, but I just prefer an old country salty ham.
Yeah.
The kind you have to soak overnight to get some of the salt out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I like that. So that's the French cathedral story.
That's a good story, but you know, I think you're skirting one very important issue.
What is that?
Today is your birthday.
Oh.
Today is your birthday.
Yes, it
and
is.
And you are glowing.
Oh, thank you.
You're glowing.
I doubt it, but thank you.
No, it's very true. And you know what happens on your birthday?
And what happens?
I bring you presents.
You did?
I did.
What'd you bring?
Stuff.
Uh oh. Okay. What's in the bag? It's in the bag.
The first thing is honey from my hives.
Oh, how nice. Look at this golden jar of honey.
Yeah, and trust me, I get to deliver it, but my friend Annie Myers, they're her hives on my property, and I just sit in the lounge chair
and wait for the honey
and fan myself while she does all the
nice.
Work.
Thank
yeah,
you,
it's
Tom.
Really great. We have a great, she's wonderful. She
Local
does an amazing
organic
job.
Organic farmers to place stationary hives on their land for pollination.
Yeah.
To produce a uniquely amazing raw, unfiltered honey.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait.
It's
Thank
really,
you.
I really like it. It's kind of a, it has a really beautiful, clean flavor. You know, like some of them have a molasses sort of, but this is
too
really
thick. The flavor's too thick.
Yeah. And almost sort of a burnt umbery sort of thing. But this is sunshine, flowers and sunshine.
So these bees get to go wherever they want.
That's right. Now, the next gift for you.
What's this?
These are what I call Tommy slicers. They were named by Megan Hastings. But I make them and these are all local names. And Sharon Briskman, God bless her.
God bless Sharon
makes
Briskman.
Makes the best pickles. And she was kind enough to give me her recipe. And it's bread and butter.
Oh, my favorite. My very favorite.
They're crazy good. Mm. And the other thing about it is, and I can always put, we can put that on our Facebook page. I'll put it on.
The recipe?
Sharon Briskman's.
Sure.
Because it's really good, you guys. And sort of fail-proof. They're always crispy. I use cucumbers. I'm a bad cucumber grower. Mine tend to get bitter sometimes. And,
yeah, that's not enough water, is what they tell me.
Yeah, but Plum Forest Farm uses a variety I really like that is always crispy and delicious. So the pickles are from Plum Forest Farm.
You should see. I wish listeners could see these beautiful pickles. I can see the celery seed in them, and I can. The color is just vibrant green.
Yeah, it's just
they're
crazy.
Just beautiful. They look really fresh, and my mouth is watering now, so I can hardly wait to taste them.
Good. What else do
we
have?
Oh, you're so sweet.
I got more.
Thank you.
There's
more.
No. This is my summer chutney.
Oh, what's in there?
All the stuff that grows at the sort of harvest at the same time. So it has plum. It's a little piquant, you know. So it has apples, pears, peaches, plums, and raisins and onions.
Is it a spicy chutney or is it more melange?
It's more melange. Yes.
Très French.
Très French. No, it's not hot at all. It's it's more kind of a acidic sweetness.
So it goes on some fish?
It goes on, it's
chicken.
Great on chicken or turkey, or you make a sandwich or...
Oh, yeah, yes.
You can even like mix cream cheese in it and make a dip. That's really good.
Thank you.
You bet. Oh,
I'm just
and there's
too
more.
Lucky. Oh, my goodness. I'm taken aback, Tom.
And then this is, I'm just boasting now. I'm just being a show-off.
Yeah, you're just bragging.
I'm bragging because these are apricots.
That's my favorite.
this apricot jam, and they're from my apricot trees that I threatened last year they were coming down if they didn't produce. They've been in the ground about 6 or 7 years. And I stood there and I said, look.
It's time.
You see this chainsaw? I know how to use it.
Don't make me use this chainsaw. Make me use this.
And miraculously, they listened. And this last year, they produced enough for a large batch of apricot jam.
Wow.
This one is from it's a really great book. A jam book called, again, we're so bad at French, Mise Confiture.
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 And it's by Christine Ferbert, and she's from Alsace, the Alsace region of France.
Uh-huh.
But it's such a great recipe. It is. It has dried apricots, fresh apricots, and Gewurztraminer wine in it.
Oh, lovely.
And it's really good. And Truman, I'll bring you one. If you want one, I'll bring you one too.
Do you know there's another French method for making apricot jam? They take the seed all the way apart, and then they put, they crack it, and inside there is a little white thing, little heart shaped thing,
yeah,
a pit.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you. I don't know my words.
I'll say it was a pit.
And then they roast those pits.
I think that's where cyanide comes from.
No, you roast them first. You roast them, and then you crack them open and get the pit out. And you put a pit in every jar of your apricot jam, and it just gives it, I don't know what it does, but it really enhances the flavor. I tried it once, and I loved it.
It
really did work.
Oh, nice.
But, you know, it's rather labor intensive.
Hey, you're worth it.
And apricot jam is my very favorite.
Oh,
thank
good.
You so much.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
And I'm only remiss that I did not bring Truman some. Because
yes,
Truman really is, Truman's the brains behind the operation.
Isn't
he's
he,
our
though?
Engineer.
Yes, Truman. yes.
So here's your last, your final gift of the assortment.
Oh,
and
look
it's
at that.
Eggs.
If
eggs,
you
baby.
You can see the colors of these eggs.
They're,
look at them, dark green and blue and light pink and beige.
There's a little olive acre.
Yes, thank you.
You bet.
You have the best chickens.
My chickens, they're lovely ladies.
And they're laying again. Is
they
that
are.
Correct? Well, they must be if you're giving me eggs. That's a high value product.
It's finally started back. The eggs.
The eggs have, yeah. So, well, that's interesting. Thank you so much.
You bet.
That's
and if anybody,
the sweetest thing. Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
You light up my life. You give me hope to carry on. You are the wind beneath my wings. Did I ever tell you you're my hero? You're everything that I would want to be.
Oh, bless your heart. You are so funny and so full of it sometimes.
Sometimes.
But, yeah, sometimes. Let's talk about birthdays for a minute.
Yeah.
Since we're there.
Yeah.
And then I want to talk about eggs.
Sure.
But birthdays. What's your... You have a birthday coming up on February 5th.
I do.
Yes.
Fellow Aquarian.
Yeah, we're Aquarians. Truman's birthday is February 9th, and he's an Aquarian.
This is like a...
I know.
Aquarian trifecta.
And
I don't know
would,
what that means.
We would
but...
drive all of our linear thinkers wild.
we're a squiggly folk.
Yeah, we're a little bit squiggly. So what's your favorite birthday cake?
You know, when I was growing up, it was German chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
Is it because of the frosting?
The
really?
Frosting, for sure. But my mother also said that it was kind of like, I don't know, it was like she said it's a difficult... cake to make because you had to separate the eggs and the whites.
That is difficult.
So I thought, well, that's the one I want, the one that's difficult.
Make her work.
But yeah, it was always really good. In fact, even in when I was in college, my first year of college, my mom surprised me with she mailed a German chocolate cake.
And, God love her.
And this is before styrofoam popcorn. That's how old I am. And she used real, but she, my
real
mother
popcorn.
Should have been a packing engineer.
Right.
And
right.
She wrapped it in Saran and foil.
Mm-hmm.
And then she froze it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she put it in a box of popcorn and then put real pop, you know, corn popcorn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then put it all over the sides and mailed it. It came perfectly.
Did she freeze it with the frosting on it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have a new favorite?
I do. It's this sort of there's a thing called a Lisbon tort, and
mm-hmm.
And if you really just sort of, you know,
distill it down.
It's basically a cake that's like a brownie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a really dense, chewy chocolate cake.
But that, it's deep chocolate.
And so you say like you have a springform pan, yeah. and then you have chocolate mousse on top of that, like a heavy mousse that solidifies. Mm-hmm. And then there's a ganache, so a chocolate and cream, so it coats it and solidifies on the top.
Oh, wow.
And then you take it out of the springform pan, and then you serve it with whipped cream.
Of course. More cream.
That's my latest favorite cake. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that idea too. And
can I tell a birthday cake
Truman
story?
Truman wants to talk. Truman, yes,
you're
of
our
course.
Hero. You
can I
take
tell
over?
This?
Of course.
Yeah. So when I was in Vietnam, I went on R&R to Bangkok,
uh-huh.
right? And it was toward the end of February, and I was gone for a week. And when I got back, the guy from the mailroom said, "O'Brien, get in here right now." I said, "What?" My parents had sent me a birthday cake.
To Vietnam.
Aww. And the aunts had found the cake. And the in the mailroom was completely overrun with ants. So I had to take that thing and get it as far away from the...
So nobody got to eat it, huh?
No. But the ants loved it.
The thought that counts.
Indeed. That's
My
all
goodness.
It wasn't edible at all.
Oh, gosh, no.
Oh,
not
that's
close.
Too bad. That's a great story,
though. I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great story. Thank you. Well, interestingly enough, my mom did the same thing when my first year at college. And so I had been home for Christmas, and I realized how lonely I really was, you know, because I just had a lot of fun the first quarter. You just had a lot of fun. And then it was time to get serious about school, and I was really lonesome. It was just like, oh, God, I'm lonesome. It was January. Well, it's my birthday. Well. And then the package came from my mom, and I'm thinking, oh, it's probably socks and a scarf, you know, like mom sent to college. And it was an angel food cake that she had wrapped in saran and tin foil to keep it fresh.
Uh-huh.
And she knew that I really loved a very simple frosting, like more of a glaze. Mm-hmm. So she included a little Tupperware thing of powdered sugar and two oranges so that I could squeeze the juice on the powdered sugar, stir it up, and pour it on my cake.
Were the oranges in the hole of the cake, I wonder?
No, they weren't actually. They were beside, and it was one of the dearest gifts ever that my mother gave me. I couldn't believe that she had thought that, really.
It's really true.
It was very dear. And I guess
moms are great.
My favorite. Oh, let's talk about ganache a little bit first. So some people don't know what it means and what it really is.
Uh-huh.
And it's such a simple thing. How do you make your ganache?
Yeah, it's like a simple thing with a fancy name.
Yeah.
It's like panache.
It's French.
It's like
ganache.
It's an icing with panache. Yeah. It's ganache. It's really fantastic. Excuse me.
And
I have
that's
to turn
your
off
phone?
My phone.
Oh, for God's sake.
I know. You think I'd never used one before. Ganache. It's basically even amounts. You can usually I do it by weight.
Uh-huh.
So equal amounts of a dark chocolate, like a
good one,
a good dark chocolate,
your
and
belly.
Equal amounts of and you can use chocolate chips if you could.
Have used chocolate chips.
Chocolate chips
before.
They're fantastic.
They're fine. Yeah.
They actually are a little better because
they're easier to melt. Yeah,
and then about the same amount in weight of cream.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do different variations where you can use less or more and you get different effects. Like you can get, if you use more cream, you'll get more of a chocolate glaze.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really great about this is if it cools, you can whip it and make a nice robust chocolate icing with it. Or just coat the thing too.
Yeah, or you can just coat it. Yeah.
Or make truffles.
Mm. That's how you make truffles.
It is.
That's just, they're not hard.
There's an Ina Garten, when I was going through cleaning off my table today, trying to, that's my goal for 2026.
To clean off
to
the table.
To find my table. It's just sort of like, it's so frustrating. Like I looked and I said, I have to go to the show at 2:30. And I go, I've been doing this for 3 hours and I still
have, and where's my,
I still have 42 piles.
Yeah.
I digress. Ina Garten had a recipe that I want to do. Maybe I'll make that next time too.
Okay.
I have to start writing this down. It's rum raisin truffles.
Well, that sounds good.
It sounds really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds really good. So my favorite cake, in case you're wondering.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, stop. Hey, so Linda, what's your favorite cake? You remember I'm a guy.
I know. It's all about you. We say this every time.
Totally.
Every time.
True.
Probably Black Forest.
Oh, that's an excellent one.
I love Black Forest cake, but only the real kind, you know, because people...
Well, tell us what that is.
Well, with real cherries, and you really have to cook it. A lot of people use cherry pie filling, and that... Mm-hmm. I like... What are those cherries called? They start with an M.
Oh, Mont Morrissey.
Yes. Oh, those are just so good.
Yeah, those are good.
But,
great.
You know, they're in water, so you have to make your little cornstarch thing and do that whole thing and drain them. And I don't want any maraschino cherries on it. Maybe as decoration on the top, maybe.
No.
Just really good dark chocolate and some ganache, mm-hmm. really. That works, too.
Doesn't it have whipped cream in there, too? Layers of whipped cream? Or
it can. It
did
doesn't.
I dream that?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it can. It doesn't have to.
You know...
It's a German recipe. Well, Black Forest, of course. It originated in German. E.
Yeah, it should did. You know, it reminds me of a vanilla version of it was my neighbor, Phoebe Johannesson, a lovely woman who is no longer with us, but her family's cake, and I think the family pretty much still makes it.
Uh-huh.
And her husband was Norwegian, and she was British, but I think it's a part of a Norwegian thing for birthday cakes where you make a big sponge cake in a baking sheet,
mm-hmm.
and then you would...
So like a skinny one. It's
a skinny one.
Yeah.
And then you'd roll it up in a towel so it would hold the...
Like a Swiss roll.
Like a Swiss roll. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it cooled, you'd unroll it, you'd put heavy whipping cream in the middle mm-hmm. with fresh fruit. Usually it was always, as long as I had it with her, it was raspberries or strawberries. Mm-hmm. Just load it up and then you'd roll it
back up.
And you'd have this log of yumminess. And then they would take a chocolate ganache and then
how wonderful.
But that was because her grandson came up with that. He goes, Grandma,
that was extra.
That was extra.
Yeah.
That was a new generation of recipe development.
I grew up making Swiss rolls, only I still don't understand why people think they're so difficult. They're not hard to make.
No.
You just have to be patient.
They're actually, I think, easier than a layer cake, really.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I love them to this day. I love them. And I haven't made one in a long time, so maybe that's next.
Yeah.
But we called them jelly rolls.
Yes.
Because we put jelly or jam on them. And it was raspberry, usually, because it was usually vanilla cake. Oh, good idea. We'll have to do this, I guess.
Okay, I'm writing down what I'm supposed to be bringing next time. Jam for Truman. And I was going to make truffles for us.
Oh, that'll be good.
Those rum raisin.
And a Black Forest cake.
No, that's your tea.
Oh, okay. So let's move on to talking about eggs. First of all, what'd you have for breakfast? Like, let's talk about top three breakfasts. What's top three breakfasts for you?
You know, I'll preface this with, I think, you know, we all know that breakfast, as they say, is the most important meal.
Right.
And I'm one of those guys, like, I'm hungriest in the morning. Like, I really like to eat breakfast. A lot of people, you know, don't even think about food till noon. But I'm like, I'm up at 5 and I go, okay, it's 5:30. What do I want? So, but I like to have sort of a couple tricks up my sleeve that my easiest one is I'll have like a good sourdough bread and I toast it. This is my 12-year-old self cooking now.
Okay.
And I'll just slather some crunchy, not smooth peanut butter.
Well, see, in my world, it has to be smooth.
That is shocking.
Is it?
It is.
Well, I like smooth.
Mm, I don't know what that's about. Okay. Sorry. I'm stunned. Okay. Back to crunchy. Crunchy peanut butter.
Uh-huh.
And then usually like a good jam or jelly
because I make one of your homemade ones.
Because I
sure.
make jam on jelly all year. So
I know you do.
I'm never without it. And then I take...
For those of you who don't know, Tom's pantry is filled with jelly. There's shelves of jelly in
there. When Armageddon comes, we can all come to my house and
eat jelly.
And become diabetic.
Jam.
I think we've got about 6 months living on jam and jelly.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay, so we're at peanut butter and jam or jelly.
Jelly on toasted sourdough.
Right.
And then I take a banana, one banana, cut it in half, and then I cut the halves in half lengthwise. And so it's like little spears.
Got it. Yeah.
So I have like four little spears.
Quarters of bananas
mm-hmm. fit on the toast. And then I cut them each like a banana finger.
Okay.
So you have like little strips of this.
It's a lot of fussing.
It's very fussy, fancy. That's my favorite. That's just an easy breakfast and I'm really happy about it.
I've never heard of all of those things on bananas and jam and peanut butter on sourdough.
Well, and I'm really I'm leaving out another thing.
Bacon.
No, I usually will butter the bread, then put the peanut butter on.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
It makes a difference.
It does.
It really does make a difference.
It raises the bar.
So what else?
The other thing I do when it's... is I'll make it the night before. I'll get boiling water and I'll put scotch cut oats mm-hmm. in the boiling water and I'll make it according to the instructions. And when it boils or simmers, I stir it and then I shut it off and then I go to bed.
Do you just leave it at room temperature overnight or do you put it in the fridge?
No, I just let it sit on the stove.
Yeah, with the lid
and
on
totally
it?
Totally nothing going on.
Right,
yeah, with
right.
the lid on.
Uh-huh.
And when you wake up in the morning, you usually have about four servings. So then mm-hmm. I cut it in fours so I can have it for four
mm-hmm.
days.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, and then, you know, bananas, raisins, walnuts. It's all
Whatever.
About the topping.
Yeah, I like all that. Yeah. You know, I don't know if I invented this or not, but I like steel cut oats too.
Mm-hmm.
I also really like thick rolled oats. It has to be pretty thick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're boiling it on the stove, it can turn to glop instantly mm-hmm. if you're not watching it. So I discovered this little thing by accident a few years ago, and I've been making it that way ever since. And I love oatmeal. I love it. So I put the oatmeal and the cold water and the salt in the pan all at the same time. And then I bring it to a boil. And the second it boils, I take it off the heat and let it sit there with the lid on it for like 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then the oats absorbs all that water. But it doesn't get soggy and gummy. It keeps the uh-huh. thick oat. So they're individual grains, but they're cooked, and it's so good.
You know that makes a lot of sense. I saw a thing on probably Instagram or YouTube or something, where a chef was showing you an easy way to do rice,
mm-hmm.
and she boiled water,
mm-hmm.
didn't care about how much was in there, basically like pasta water that
yeah.
sort of thing, where it's like three quarters up.
Yeah.
And then she put in a cup of jasmine rice, and she boiled it for 10 minutes, and then she drained it in a sieve, and it was magically light and fluffy.
Oh, and that was it.
She treated it like a pasta.
Okay, yeah. So it didn't absorb all the water. It
right.
just cooked in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose, you know, boiling around, I can see the little grains of uh-huh. rice dancing around in that water kept them
yeah,
separate.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to try that. I'll try that for next time, too.
Yeah, I better write that down.
Okay, writing it down. Rice, the other way.
Can we talk about scrambled eggs for a minute?
Oh, yes, because that's the third thing I do.
Is it?
Yeah. You get a big knob of butter mm-hmm. in a little cast iron pan. And when it stops sizzling,
provided your cast iron is well seasoned, otherwise it needs to be a nonstick pan.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And so then I just whip up a couple eggs. I put just a little spot of water in there for steaming aspect.
In the eggs or in the pan?
In the eggs.
Yeah.
And then mix them up.
Mm-hmm.
Turn them in, and when it goes, you know, mm-hmm. you got to have that sound.
Mm, yeah, you do.
And then you shut off.
That's a good sound, Tom.
Thank you. You shut off the flame because.
And let them.
I swear, nobody. Mm-mm. Scrambled mm-mm. eggs, they always come out as
dry
as a cowboy
oh,
chap. Yeah,
yeah,
it's like, ugh.
No.
And so I don't like them dry.
I don't either.
So I shut it off immediately, putting it in. And then I just keep working it, and the residual heat makes mm-hmm. them creamy and soft and lovely.
What do you put in them? Do you put anything in them?
Sometimes I'll do a little. When I had Buddy, he liked Parmesan, or mm-hmm. he actually liked Romano cheese better.
Better than Parmesan?
Yes. And so I
would... Well, he had a discerning palate.
He really did. He was a gourmand. I'm not eating that crap. That's
yeah.
what he'd say. No, I'm more like, I'm not eating that crap. So I would just do a little grating of Romano on mm-hmm. the eggs with mm-hmm. a little salt and pepper.
Yum.
Hear the angels sing.
Oh, yes, yes.
And fresh eggs make the difference.
Absolutely.
Well, what's your breakfast dealio, sister?
I have several, actually, and it depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
When you post them on your Facebook page, you have half of Vashon going like, damn. Why didn't she invite us?
Why didn't I get invited?
I want you to start answering that, like, because I don't really like you or something. You're like, because you're so annoying, because you ask questions like
this. Yeah, but I don't have any people on Facebook who are annoying.
No, not None. At all.
Mm-mm. No.
Then I can add to it. Well, Linda, I have given good inside information that she really can barely tolerate you.
Yeah, you can make the wise. You can make the witty remarks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Half an hour at the breakfast table would drive her insane.
Enough time. Well, you know, my favorite food in the world is eggs. And somebody asked me the other day what my last meal would be. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just chatting. And I said, oh, I've known it for years. It would be 2 fried eggs, sunny side up, uh-huh. 2 slices of very thick, crisp bacon,
uh-huh.
and a waffle, a homemade waffle with real maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love waffles for breakfast. I never have them except if I'm having company. I'll make waffles, but I don't make them for myself. So
I'll make them for you.
Okay. Well, you
saw my super cool.
I love your super cool waffle iron.
Yeah, it's like a 120-year-old waffle iron that you put on the stove.
I have an
electric.
Oster.
Those are good too.
It's a very good waffle iron. But of a regular morning, I've recently gotten into protein shakes, which I eschewed for years. I thought they were the stupidest thing people could ever do.
I was going to say, color me in disbelief.
I know. But I've started using a protein powder that's vanilla flavored,
uh-huh.
with mangoes that are frozen, mm-hmm. and mango chunks frozen. Mm-hmm. And then, I add some collagen and I add some chia seeds.
Your skin looks fabulous.
Thank you. And actually, my hair is getting longer, too. Yeah.
Hello, Cindy Crawford.
But it's delicious. It's mm-hmm. just really like sort of like having a milkshake for breakfast. And then I have a chocolate version with frozen bananas.
Okay, so let me get this straight. It's protein powder mm-hmm. and no dairy, just water.
No dairy. You can put some in there if you want to. You can put some yogurt or whatever, but I just put a little bit of water for consistency.
Oh, and the frozen mango makes it like a slushy.
Yeah, it's a slushy, basically. And so it's really, really good. And that's for quick, down and dirty, I'm out of here kind of mm-hmm. breakfast. And then I love boiled eggs. Boiled eggs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I remember a conversation you and I had at one time, and you said you'd never had a soft boiled egg.
No.
So I'm going to make those for you probably next week.
We weren't those people.
Yes. Well, why not? Who are those people?
We were scrambled eggs or fried eggs.
Oh, well, we were all kinds of eggs.
But when I would see movies with Katharine Hepburn and they'd be eating soft boiled eggs, I would just be puzzled.
Well, I'll give you a lesson.
Like that's all they get to eat?
I have little egg cups.
Okay.
And you kind of tap the top off the boiled mm-hmm. egg. We didn't do this at my house mm-hmm. when I was a kid. I learned this after
Your
I grew
servants
up.
Did.
No, we didn't have any servants, believe me. But soft boiled egg is probably my favorite way to eat eggs.
So what exactly is a soft boiled egg? Educate me. Like when I crack open that little top, what am I finding?
You're finding a done solid egg white.
Okay.
And a very runny yolk with no goo. Okay.
Thus the dipping.
That's the dipping.
Toast. Okay.
And so my way of making the perfect egg mm-hmm. soft boiled is you put the eggs in the cold water.
Mm-hmm.
And you let the water come to a boil. Mm-hmm. I always add a little salt in the water. I don't know why, but let the water come to a boil. And as soon as, is that right? Yeah. You let the water come to a boil. And as soon as it's done, as it boils, you take the pot off the heat and you let it sit for 4 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And then you get a soft boiled egg.
Okay.
And then, you know, you have a little egg cup and you prop it up in that egg cup mm-hmm. and take your knife or your spoon. In England, they use a spoon and they tap, tap, tap just around the very tip. Around the
I've
very
seen
tip
those
of the
little
egg.
Things with a spring that...
Oh, they have those things too, but that's fancy
ridiculous.
Schmancy,
okay.
you know. Yeah. And then provided you've already made your toast, which I hope you would have done.
Oh, absolutely.
You take a piece of bread and slice it in very skinny slices,
like
the
fingers.
Long ways, like fingers. And those are called toast soldiers.
Toast soldiers?
And you dip the soldiers in the egg. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And I, a little story about that. I was in my late 40s probably, and my mom was visiting. I lived in Portland at the time, and my mom was visiting. And we were having a casual breakfast. We were having soft-boiled eggs and coffee and toast and sitting at the table, and I had this cute little dining nook and little curtains and the view and all that.
Were you in like a peignoir with boas and feathers?
Oh, yeah, and mules on our feet.
Yes. What do they call those? Kitten heels?
Kitten heels, yes. Kitten heels, always yeah. fancy. And then... So we made the boiled eggs and we sat there and we were eating them, and I took my first bite and I said, and she said, "Oh, Linda." And I said, "Yes." And she said, "You know, the very first egg I gave you was when you were 6 months old, and it was a soft boiled egg, and you made the same sound." Which I thought was pretty precious.
That is pretty sweet.
I thought that was pretty sweet.
That's very sweet.
So that's, that I guess is my very favorite breakfast. And that can happen pretty fast. That's not a...
Well, that's an easy one, because I will, well, next time I have you over, well, I'll make you breakfast.
Yeah, or I'll make you breakfast.
Okay. Oh, okay. I like
and,
that better.
Yeah, sure. And then I also love to make omelets. Mm-hmm. And I make omelets like Jacques Papin taught me how to do.
So no browning on the
No
outside.
Browning on the bottom. They are not brown. One thing I have not conquered, which I would like to, is have you seen the Japanese omelets? They're
oh,
like
yeah.
87
like
layers
mile
of...
high.
Oh,
yeah.
And they just look so good.
Yeah.
But I think that's a real production, and I'd have to take lessons for that.
Yeah, we'd have to watch a few videos for that. There's also the Japanese milk bread that's...
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
It's super light and fluffy. Yeah. Also, their pancakes, they have like a 4-inch thick pancakes as light as air. It's really like a souffle.
It's a Japanese pancake.
Yeah.
I know. So, you know, we should take a break and thank our beautiful, fabulous sponsors. Can we do that, Truman?
You can.
I think it's probably ideal because we haven't done it yet. And we couldn't live without our sponsors.
We love our sponsors.
Thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support, making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVachon.com.
Support for Voice of Vachon is provided by Palouse Winery. Award-winning wines are available for tasting on their covered patio noon to 5 Friday through Sunday. For private event inquiries, to see the music schedule, or to make a reservation, visit PalouseWinery.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vachon 101.9 LP, FM LP, in Vachon, beautiful
long,
Vachon,
long
Washington.
Play.
Yeah, long play.
For some people, they're probably listening going, this is really a long play.
This is really
play.
A long play, yeah. And I'm Linda Nygaard.
I'm Tom Conway.
And Tom Conway's here, too. So along with our trusty engineer, Mr. Truman O'Brien, who keeps us rolling, keeps us on track.
Truman, he's the best.
Yep, he is. So we're done talking about eggs and breakfast. And you and I made a commitment in the show last time that we were going to cook something we'd never cooked before, which neither one of us have done.
So I chose rhinoceros horn.
Yes, yes. So I thought maybe we would talk about... wintertime cooking, the old favorites that we love. And I know that you made some beef stew. Is that right? Did you make ragu?
I made beef bourguignon.
Oh, yes.
But here's the deal.
What? Fess up, Tom.
I couldn't pour a bottle of this red wine. The red wine I had was a gift, and it was I didn't want to go to the store, and I just could not pour this bottle.
It was too good?
It was too good.
Well, they say.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are people that buy good wine
all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was hesitant to use it. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to make beef bourguignon without the wine.
Well,
and then it becomes a fabulous sort of American pot roast at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But,
it was pot roast you were talking
about.
Yeah.
It was just a chuck steak, and put a bacon in it. You know, you chop up bacon and get that bacon fat going, and then you just sear the pot roast. And then what's really great about it is you sear it, and then I just put in beef broth up to the top of it.
Are we in a Dutch oven?
I'm sorry, we're in a Dutch oven.
Yeah, okay.
In a Dutch oven. And then what was great about it is, and then I just layered it with, I had a bunch of those tiny onions, little boiling onions.
Oh, the little pearl onions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I put those on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a bunch of dried tomatoes.
Oh.
That I dry. What I do in the summer is I tend to roast, I roast the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of like them better that way than I
do
canned and sloppy.
Yeah,
and,
you know. I do too.
So I roast them, and they're wonderfully leathery but gentle. They're nice. Once mm-hmm. they get rehydrated mm-hmm. quickly, and it makes a really great flavor.
Oh, yeah.
And I put those in there, and then a couple carrots. But I put the carrots in the air fryer to roast them,
mm-hmm.
and then I put them in there.
Ooh, you're after the flavor.
I'm after the flavor, and mm-hmm. then. Yeah, I put in a couple sprigs of rosemary, a couple bay leaves,
mm-hmm.
A couple squirts of the garlic press.
Oh yeah,
and then I just cooked it for like 2 hours on low, and then about 2.5 hours, and then mm-hmm. I shut it off, and just let it cool. And by the time it cools, it's fantastic.
Do you leave it in the oven when it cools?
I'm sorry. It has a lid on it. Yeah.
And is it in the oven as it cools, or do you take it out of the oven?
Oh, do you know what? This is even weird. I do it on top of the stove.
Oh.
I do it on one of my burners, okay. Really slowly.
So then you shut the heat off and let uh-huh. it cool.
And then
is it ready?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds really good.
It's one of those things where it gets better every day.
Really comforting.
And then one of the best things about it is. You can take a wand, you know, that you puree things. And when you're getting
A
hand blender, thank you. When you're getting down to the bottom of it, or half of it, mm-hmm. you can just puree that and make like a gravy for mashed potatoes or anything you want.
Or anything. Yeah. Yeah.
Or just for like a soup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gravy soup.
Yum. Just add a little water.
Exactly.
Have a big hunk of bread and you're ready.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what did you make?
Well, I made coq au vin, and you know, for the first time, I swear it's been at least 5 years, maybe 7 years since I've really had a nice dinner party at my house. Mm-hmm. I just have not been doing it.
And the coq au vin, the translation is just chicken and wine, right?
Chicken and wine.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like the beef bourguignon of chickens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kind of.
We were on the same page.
Yeah, we were. And it's such a wonderful dish to make in the wintertime because it does take a lot of prep. It takes a lot of, it's kind of fussy.
Well, the plucking alone takes
an hour. Yeah, the plucking, yeah. And I really enjoy that. And uh-huh. so instead of using the whole chicken, and the reason that it was invented was, in France, of course,
uh-huh.
was that some chef somewhere, and I know this is a fact, didn't have any hens. And all he had was an old nasty rooster,
oh.
a tough rooster. So that's coq au vin. And so he made that. Anyway, I just, instead of using a whole chicken, I just used thighs and drumsticks.
Oh, I like that idea better.
Yeah.
Actually.
I do too. And always with the skin on, you know, you have
Amen,
to have bone
sister.
And skin on.
Yep.
And dredge.
Fat is flavor.
Yes. And dredge and flour and do that thing and brown them. And they don't have to cook them. They just need to be browned. And I do it in a Dutch oven. And then, it also has pearl onions in it, which you add at the last minute. Mm-hmm. It has mushrooms in it.
Mushrooms in mine too. I forgot.
Did you?
Yeah.
You add those at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then a good bottle of red wine, but not too good.
Well,
not too good.
You know, it's like I joke with my friend Kurt. You're slightly north on Beale.
Yeah.
Snob.
Oh, stop it. No.
And I'm slightly lower on Beale. Slob.
I get it.
Yeah,
get it. Okay. On the other side of the tracks.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, I'm a medium priced wine person. And
okay.
I don't really buy wine very often because I don't drink it very often.
And you're secure enough to buy. You don't have to spend a fortune.
Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, no. So I just bought a decent bottle of Bordeaux.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, was it? It was Burgundy, because that's what Julia Child used. So my secret to that, so then you've just got all this stuff in there.
Can you use a white wine if you want?
Well, then that's called something different. It's you can. You can uh-huh. make coq au vin with white wine, but why would you? I don't know. A friend of mine makes it that
way.
But
sorry, I brought it up. Jeez, guy. Could you put Coca-Cola in there?
You probably can make yourself some cocoa, a ginger rum ale. Roast.
What about Mountain Blue? Mountain Dew. Yeah. Put some Mountain Dew in there.
It'd
be
really
good.
Cooking with now Dr. Pepper. Yes. Anyway, I want to tell you about this secret.
I'm listening.
So you have this. You just have to look up a recipe for listeners if you really want to do this, because there's a recipe, and Julia Child is the one to make. And
she brought it home. She brought it to America.
She did, yeah. And it's not hard. It takes time, but it's not hard. So what I did was I finished it in the oven, very low, cooked it for like 2 hours in the oven, really, really low. Mm-hmm. And then I put it in the fridge overnight. And then the next day, I cooked it again for 2 hours, because it's always better the next day. So
sweet.
This is a make-ahead thing. If you're going to have company for dinner, you can make it ahead. It's better the next day.
Was it the first day? Could you have eaten it the first day?
Yes, you could.
Okay, It was thoroughly cooked.
It was thoroughly cooked.
Just, you're getting more of that umami and flavor the second day.
And you know, like fancy chefs say, the flavor's marry. They have time to marry. Yes.
My flavors were just dating.
Well, these are married flavors, so you know.
They wouldn't commit.
No. And then what I do is, then you take the chicken out. It's got bay leaves and all that stuff in it. You know, you take all that stuff out, and you're left with the liquid, which you reduce. Not a lot, but maybe for half an hour, you reduce
it.
Nice. And then you add the very secret ingredient is about 2 tablespoons of really rich cocoa powder.
And you put, like baking cocoa powder?
Kind of? Oh, wow. Like really good. Like don't use Hershey's. And that, you do not taste the chocolate. It's not like a mole. It doesn't have any of that flavor in it, but it deepens every flavor that's within that stew, and it knocks it over the top. Julia does not do that.
Well, where did you find out?
I don't know. Oh. I've been doing it that way for years.
It's almost like when you do, like I make certain breads, like I make a date bread, and it calls for a cup of coffee in it.
Right. It's like, it's that same thing.
It adds
a
depth to it.
Like when you're making chocolate frosting, if you put some espresso in it, that brings the chocolate out, and you don't really taste the coffee. You don't really taste that, but it just deepens the flavor a little bit. So that's what I did, and it was...
That could be your motto, Linda Nygaard, I deepen the flavor.
Well, I
the
do.
The flavor of life, deepen the flavor of our lives.
Oh, bless your heart. You're so kind to me on my birthday. Thank you.
Wait till next time.
Yeah, I know you're going to get even one of these days. I can just wait.
No, love you too much.
Yeah. We're running short on time here, and I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening, and I hope we made a little bit of sense. We're kind of, Tom, do you want to talk we've got about a minute left. We have about a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, you can talk a little bit about orange peels and sugar.
Oh, yeah.
But first, let me say this.
Yes.
I want to say, you people out there who are frying bacon need to be saving your drippings.
Yes.
Because
there
is no shame anymore. And I browned this coq au vin in bacon drippings, and it makes a huge difference. And everybody thinks, oh, calories. It's not true. I mean, you don't want to eat it with a spoon.
Well, didn't you make ginger snaps for
yes,
me once with bacon fat?
Bacon fat, yeah.
Yeah, those were, and they those, lasted about 7 minutes.
Yeah. But in this citrus season, I want you to tell people about your citrus orange peel thing.
Oh, yeah. This is a really great thing you can do. It's using an orange, like every time I eat an orange, I wash it, and then I take the skin and I slice it in like little tiny fingers, and I simmer it in one cup of water, one cup of sugar, and every time I keep it on the stove, and then I shut it off, and then every time I have an orange, I do that again. I slice up little fingerlings and I put it in the pot, and I boil it again until the pot's full of oranges. So like 5 oranges later.
And then they're delicious just the way they are. It's like orange candy. But you can use them to decorate cakes. You could put them in tea.
Yeah, chop them up and put them in breads and salads.
I was going to say salad's probably pretty good too.
Orangey zesty. It's awesome.
So That's something that I've never known anyone to do. And yeah. I just think it's a wonderful thing. And if I can remember, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start doing that.
Okay, I'm writing that down too. I'll bring you some of that because it's a winter, it's a winter ritual that I just love. And if it's so great. And then
they last a long time.
Yeah. And you just keep adding an even amount of sugar and water every time it sort of dries out.
All right. Well, do we have any outgoing music? Or Truman keeps forgetting the music.
We are the outgoing music.
Da, 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 da.
Hey, it was really fun to celebrate your birthday with you.
Thank you so much. It was just lovely. And listeners, thank you for listening. And we will see you in, I don't know, a couple or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I just, you know, keep tuned in.
We have to set alarms and look at our calendars. Yeah. We can, nothing off the top of our heads.
Thank you all, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks again.
Well, you know, one of these days we're going to have fun when
we
do this.
It's such a drag.
You know, it's one of these things. I give...